Hi, I'm Kenny Schiff, and welcome to the third episode of Care Points, our podcast that covers the healthcare industry, cybersecurity, all kinds of things related to systems integration. And it's a great place for us to talk to our partners, some of our team members at Lone Star, and people in the industry in general. I have the great pleasure of introducing Eric Thorson, who's the CEO founder of ThorTech Solutions. ThorTech was early to the cloud computing game, involved in support of the election polling processes, and now has expanded that into a full service business that covers fintech, healthcare technology, and related. And also with me today is Ali Alish, who's the CEO and founder of Bluesteel Cybersecurity. Bluesteel consults with companies like ThorTech and Lone Star around all things cybersecurity and helps run compliance programs, helps all of us do better at facing the world from a cybersecurity perspective. And finally, I have the great pleasure of introducing Jeff Richard, who's the CTO of Lone Star Communications. And Jeff was a longtime player at Baylor Scott & White, the largest non-for-profit health system in the state of Texas. And Jeff represents for us, at least in our conversation today, what the other side feels like, the customer. So without further ado, let's kind of jump into our conversation. So I'm going to start with Ali. As a leader of a cybersecurity consultancy that addresses both cloud and non-cloud information technology service, what's your perspective on cloud versus non-cloud from a cybersecurity perspective?
That's sort of a loaded question because I think, you know, the differences come down to what the organization has in the form of resources. And resources can be people resources, technology resources, cloud versus on-prem. Cloud has the convenience factor going for it. It's not meant to be a cost-effective solution. It's just meant to be a scalable solution. And so from a security perspective, there isn't a tremendous amount of differences between the two types of locations, let's say, just more in the sense of capabilities, resources, and use cases at the end of the day. Most everything is going to cloud, and a lot of frameworks are adjusting and adapting to it. And being secure in the cloud doesn't mean that you're more secure on-prem. It just means that you have more of a focus on ensuring that your open ports, your environment are completely as locked down, and making sure that access control, one of the bigger factors for that, is thoroughly thought through.
Great. Thanks for that. Eric, I'm going to jump to you. You've seen an evolution that many people haven't seen because you've been up so close to it from a large-scale cloud computing standpoint. When you started, it was at its infancy. Now it's ubiquitous. Anything we do on a day-to-day basis inherently involves cloud. So from a reliability and security perspective, what has evolved over time? And how is it changing the landscape of what any of us do from a computing perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I appreciate you invited me to talk with you guys today. I really actually like the way Ali had talked about the idea that it's not like you're better off over here or better off over there, right? Like, a lot of the controls that need to be in place on the cybersecurity side just need to be in place, right? So from a process to a technology. We started out when S3 was first originally put out by AWS. We're like, what is this thing that this retail company is putting out? It's calling it like technology, right? And then it turned out that they had this storage thing that has 13 nines of durability, right? That was a very hard thing for us to ignore. And it was dirt cheap. And so we're like, wow, we're putting our backups over there, right? And like, it just, and that was sort of this beginning of watching what AWS was doing, which I would argue was more about innovation and a pace of innovation and enabling businesses to not only to compete with competitors, but like, if you're not there now, it's hard to keep up with your competitors because of the pace of innovation. Now, not just with Amazon, right? In AWS, you've got this with Microsoft and Azure, you've got this with GCP, you've got this with Oracle, right? So yes, the other question, which is about like, are they really up to the task of dealing with compliance industries, right? Whether that's fintech or healthcare, right? So it's interesting to think about it because I think it is important to go back to that initial question, like, am I safer with an on-prem solution, right? And the answer to that, I believe, is that the same controls you have to have in place, the same staff, the same expertise, the same process really needs to be solved regardless of whether you're in the cloud or you're on-prem, right? And so when you start with that kind of assumption, now you get into this place of sort of like, okay, maybe I can compare where these things are going. And just to give you, some stats, I think that AWS spent like $8 billion alone on cybersecurity in 2021, right? I'm not really sure what the 2022 numbers are. Like, you're talking about these on-prem companies trying to compete with the might of Amazon, the might of Microsoft, Oracle, Google, right? It's a tough sell, right? Who's going to be able to really attract the top talent? Who's going to be able to really see tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of businesses' workloads and figure out how to secure them the best? It's very hard for on-prem companies to compete in that world. Now, that doesn't mean it's all solved for you, right? Like, Ali brought up the thing about it's not intended to be the cheapest solution. Like, there is some real sophisticated tooling with machine learning and other things with AI about locking down systems and intrusion detection and, what considers to be abhorrent behavior. But you pay for what you use, right? So what I would say is the convenience factor, right? Like, once you learn how to lock down a system in a certain way on a platform and the different features it has, you can now apply that to many other kinds of businesses. I absolutely think that they are up to the task. You've got large, you've got Epic, you've got Cerner, you've got, the who's who of healthcare running on these platforms now, both in Azure and AWS, and obviously, Oracle with Cerner. I think it's a very compelling story there. And I think really, it's just a matter of time before everybody is going to wind up being there.
And we're all there anyway, no matter whether we like it or not. Yes. So we're using a cloud-based platform for doing this podcast. I have an iPad in front of me that I'm using for my notes. And those are all kind of tied together. I'm going to shift the conversation to Jeff. Jeff's in a unique position, having lived on both sides of the divide. Customer side, in a heavy operational IT-centric role. Now on the solution provider side, with a lot of responsibility. So Jeff, is what's kept you up at night different today than it was then? And how are you thinking from a services provider now, especially with the lens of having been on the customer side? And we're just interested in how the Ali and Eric's thoughts play out in a healthcare world that you play in.
From a customer perspective, back in my time with Baylor, it's interesting, as Eric was talking, I remembered a time we were actually working on a project that required tons of storage, and it was epilepsy monitoring. And it's like, how the heck are we going to store these terabytes and terabytes of data? And about that time, and storage back then, I think that was like 2013, maybe 2014, possibly. And then all of a sudden, we had all this storage at our disposal. And it was in the cloud, and it was super, super cheap, to Eric's point. And really no one questioned at that time the storing of that data in the cloud. We weren't really looking at cybersecurity. We weren't really looking at security in general of what is, turned out to be brainwave activity and all this stuff, but still tied to a patient's medical record. Just thinking back to that, that seemed like not a big deal. And maybe that's at the time there weren't as many bad players in the market making cyber attacks and things like that. But I believe as we've moved to things like Epic and Cerner and some of the more in-user focused applications moving to the cloud, then because they're interacting with the patient's protected health information on an active basis, I think it's kind of come to the forefront and the need to secure that information in transit, if you will, is probably brought it, you know, kind of shined a brighter light on it. But as a service provider, you know, knowing, you know, learning from my time at Baylor Scott & White, interacting with you guys, with Eric, with Ali, in the business that we're in now, you know, if I had to pick one difference is really the need to educate our customers and help them understand that we will respect their wishes when it comes to how they want to handle their solutions in general. But just know that just because it's in the cloud doesn't mean it's any more or less secure. It's really about their organization's posture as a company and abiding by the policies that they have in place. So, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction. I think it's important to engage our customers in a way that provides them the most up-to-date information from people like Eric and people like Ali with their respective companies and just be open and honest and not try to hide anything about how we're handling their information. The second piece of that is Lone Star, I feel, is from an integrations perspective, is trying to get ahead of that power curve. We get more and more risk assessment requests or security assessment requests for something as simple as renewing a service contract. And that is becoming more and more frequent. So from a company, a Lone Star company perspective, we're making huge efforts to improve our security posture and be able to speak and demonstrate intelligently to our customers about what that posture looks like.
And there's a collaborative vigilance that all the people on this call have to be involved with. We're caretakers here, not at a human level in the same way that a hospital would be, but we're caretakers of the customer's data and their processes. So we have to have a kind of unified framework, and it's ongoing. And I would say we're not at the beginning of our journey, but it's a journey that is going to go on for a long time. I'm going to shift my attention to Ali, and I'm going to ask you about PHI. So I have a good friend who's a former CEO of a large concern in the healthcare tech space, and he's advising a customer that's in the virtual care solution business about some aspects of their platform. And the provider, the solution provider, is really nervous about PHI. And in fact, they're going to great lengths to somehow avoid it. But at the end of the day, their solution really would be greatly enriched by PHI. So Ali, and then, you know, the rest can chime in too. How would you advise the solution provider if you were my friend?
You know, I kind of look at this a little bit differently, sort of taking the security hat off and just more on, you know, business liability, right? It comes down to value proposition on the data. If the data proves to be something that would greatly enhance the product and the solution and the risk and the liability of holding that data makes it worthwhile, and I'll get into what worthwhile actually means, but if it's worthwhile, then it's worth investigating it. There's a lot of issues, not only from a security perspective, but privacy, confidentiality, that when you're holding sensitive information like that, there are a lot of layers to it. You know, in our world, compliance is looked upon as one measure. It's just a benchmark as to what to practice, and compliances are SOC 2, ISO 27001, but they're not necessarily the end all be all when it comes to protecting data. There are a lot of layers, a lot of, you mentioned the word journey. It is a journey nonetheless of introducing better practices in terms of holding the data, encrypting it, ensuring that whenever it leaves, it's done so encrypted in transit, And if it's a platform like a SaaS application, how does the software handle the data? How does it interact with the systems that are behind there? There's a lot of questions. And, you know, when you say advice, the advice is that proceed with caution, understand the value proposition around it. But if the value is there, then there are a lot of ways to pursue this, a lot of ways to roadmap this, to have that value proposition come to life, and really provide the end result that's needed. Especially in healthcare space, a lot of time when you're touching that sort of information, you're looking to produce an outcome that could potentially save lives. It's more of a greater insight, greater detail. And so why wouldn't that be worthwhile to pursue? It's just a matter of ensuring that you leave no stone unturned from everything from transit to storage to accessibility to interaction.
Yeah, and I want to just say something. I really liked the fact, Ali, that you started out by sort of taking your cybersecurity hat off and putting the business thing, because, you know, we've been in the seat of helping companies that are trying to bring new applications into the healthcare space. And this is how the conversation starts, right? Which is like, make sure if you're going to go into that area of having PHI, there really is a value prop, because you're going to be introducing not only the overhead of you know, the business liability, yes, but the overhead of really making sure you can prove to the customers you're selling into that you can be trusted with their data and really prove it, right? Right. There's got to be tangible evidence. But also you're going to wind up having sales friction, right? The difference between walking into a customer site without PHI data, but you still have a good value proposition for them and something that does is pretty significant. And so like the business needs to understand that their sales process is going to be considerably more complex with something like that. So I like the fact that you started there on the business side.
Well, we're dealing with complex applications, complex use cases, lots of different audiences. The reason I asked the question more than anything else is the answer, I think, is that this can be done if we collaborate together so that the journey of the data is properly tended to through its life cycle. And yes. I know about the work that we have all done together is really about that. Like literally thinking about where it starts, how it ends up, and all the things that we need to do along the way. And I feel that we as collaborators are able to synthesize and bring those things together in a protected way. And in general, we too have shied away from PHI, but there's great value in that PHI, which I'll throw it to Jeff. I know he has some ideas about that.
Lots of ideas. And I think Ali and Eric's position are great, or their statements are great. You know, what came to mind is, you know, from a value proposition, you know, having been in healthcare IT for quite a while and seen some of the evolution with Epic getting better and better and doing more things and really, really becoming the source of truth for many healthcare organizations. You know, that hasn't always been the case. 10 or so years ago, we had disparate systems that were connected by all kinds of interfaces, all in an effort to eliminate the need to manually populate patient data, right? And transcribe data from system to system, which introduces the opportunity or creates the opportunity for errors to be made that can ultimately lead to negative clinical outcomes or negatively impact the patient in some form or fashion. So, you know, back to the conversation with about the value proposition, that is, you know, in my opinion, a risk or a conversation that should be had with healthcare or customers in the healthcare environment as to which risk are you willing to take and what is really the benefit that you're looking for. So I agree with you, Kenny, absolutely a way to do this. And I would argue that even, you know, if we really talk about saving lives, the ability to transmit data from, in, you know, an emergency situation like out in the field pre-hospital, in a way that gives visibility to emergency departments or trauma teams or whatever the case may be, increases the likelihood of a high quality outcome for the patient.
Yeah, and it's really all a matter of the customer being well educated enough to understand the things that need to be happening, and for them to be in a position to properly evaluate solution providers and work with them to ensure that that journey is adequately protected and has the safeguards necessary to deliver the solution, which will lead me to my last question, which is a toss-up. So all of us on this call have had to participate in customers' due diligence for both traditional and software as a service, application-based services. How can we make that process better for both customers and healthcare delivery organizations? Allie, you've had to answer a bunch of those questionnaires.
You know, I think I feel like right now, and Jeff made a good point. Back then, when we're worried about acquisition and storage of data, there was less concern on security. Now we're in a time where security is a concern, but you from my perspective, you see a lot of misguided misdirection efforts, which comes in these forms of questionnaires. The questionnaires, when you look at them from a cyber nerd like me, I look at those and I can see four or five compliances that are being sort of regurgitated onto a piece of paper. And I think ultimately where I have seen success, and we, you know, we deal with our fair share of organizations that panic when they get these sort of requirements, both from a customer and from a vendor perspective. The reality is having the conversation as to why this is important from both sides and to understand what are we dealing with is sort of focusing the care on what is it that we're actually ultimately doing here and what is it that we're ultimately protecting. That will contextually tell us how do we solve this problem of liability, of data loss prevention, and work together as a team. I think in security, we use the term firewall a lot, but I think in terms of the human aspect of how we do these partnerships in real life, shouldn't have a firewall if there's an interested value proposition on the solution that meets the customer's request. And I think that bridge can happen on collaboration on security protocols that make sense in terms of what is being handled. And so I guess the short answer is conversation to collaborate on a direction that ultimately yields the best results for both sides.
Yeah, as opposed to getting a kind of checklisted Excel spreadsheet form thrown over the wall that doesn't have any real meat on the bone that somebody got from somebody else or is given to them by somebody responsible for managing compliance on that customer's behalf.
Exactly.
Eric, Jeff, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's you know, Kenny, you and I have been working together for a long time about this, right? And when these things come up, and what I would say too is like from our seat in helping startups and vendors who are trying to get into this space, it's very different than 10 years ago. Like so, and the reason I bring that up is like it was because we got to get a thing out the door. I only got this much money. Let me get an MVP. Oh, I got a security assessment, you know, and then it's like panic. What am I going to do? You know, there's so many controls now, particularly on these cloud platforms where you can go in there and sort of say, I can't use anything that's not compliant with, you know, whatever the compliance offering is. And you don't necessarily have to go too far with it. And what that winds up doing is that the developers get thrown into this world before they've built anything, right, where they can't actually make like what I'd say are egregious mistakes. Now, I'm not trying to be hand wavy and say that solves everything that when, you know, a guy like Ollie walks in there and does an audit, it doesn't solve everything, but it really eliminates that sort of fear factor of when you're building out a solution, whether it's a new feature in an existing system or it's a brand new product, that if you're following some of these rules that you can't break, like it won't even allow you to, you know, have data that's not encrypted in transit and at rest, right? It will throw an error. The developer can't even do it, right? And so those kinds of things, when you get those questionnaires, you're like, okay, I know I'm covered of this, at least this foundational thing. And then you can, you know, have a whole bunch of things that you check off. Then it's like, okay, let me go back to the customer and have a conversation about why all these other things are on there.
There's some,
Jeff, you want, you know,
there's so much to that.
You want to finish up?
That's interesting. I think, you know, again, to Eric's point, I think a lot of it is education with the customer. But to Ali's point, it needs to be a dialogue from both sides. And I've been on both sides and in position where I'm praying that please don't ask anything about security. Hopefully nobody brings up security, yada, yada, yada. But from a Lone Star communications perspective, you know, with the work that we're doing with Ali, you know, on our process and with you, Kenny, as well, you know, our intent behind that work is to be open and proactive about how we represent our position to the customer. We want to have that conversation because I believe it ties to educating them, and we leading with that conversation as part of even a sales conversation. You know, when you're introducing the solution to a customer, we're open and free to talk about our security posture and how we handle your data, the customer's data, right? So I think that's how we need to be thinking about it.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah, and we're more likely to proactively actually bring it up rather than wait to be ambushed.
Right.
We have a customer who we ended up having a conversation with a few weeks ago who is on the clinical engineering side of the house. And clinical engineering has a lot of connected systems. There's also a very complex web of legacy technology out there that is still being used by hospitals. In some cases, devices could be 25 years old. And we actually had an incredibly meaningful conversation with the customer who was wondering how we were doing things because they were interested in learning from us in a way that that conversation never would have happened like 3 years ago, let alone, you know, even sooner than that. So I feel great that we could actually have this conversation out in the open. And part of the reason I wanted to do the theme this particular episode of the podcast around this is we want to make this normal for people. And it is educational, and I think people we have to all work together to sort of get rid of biases that are not accurate.
Yeah, and I think the message, you know, and you know this from us working together, right? And I think Ali would agree. Like a lot of the innovation that's happening is also making it easier. It's complicated, and there's always people who are becoming more sophisticated at sort of figuring out how to circumvent some of these controls that are in place. But a lot of the work of providing evidence that things are really locked down, providing evidence that there's proper controls in place for, you know, password rotation, key rotation, all those things, the tooling in these platforms is becoming a lot easier to implement and use so that we can really provide this level of sophistication on the security side a lot easier with less cost.
Yeah, and I would say a lot of these tools too that you're talking about, Eric, we sometimes get lost in all those checkboxes and having sort of a program that sort of tells the story and having it as any vendor or startup that's going into this industry can use that as a value prop. You come in with a security focus along with the backing that you're mentioning, it becomes a no-brainer. It's easier to engage because, yep, you know, it shows that you care.
Yep.
Jeff, final thoughts?
No, I was going to say things are changing fast. I mean, I'm an old guy. It's hard to keep up, you know, in the conversations that we have with customers, depending on, you know, how recently the director of security has graduated will determine how educated they are on a lot of the technologies out there that are available specifically in the cloud. And those conversations with those types of people are becoming easier and easier. Because they're already familiar with the platform, and they get it. So, just keep educating is the position we're taking.
Great. So, thank you, Jeff. Eric, Ali, for joining me today on CarePoints. And those who are watching, I encourage you to hit the like button and subscribe so you get notified when our next releases will be. And look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Have a great day.